On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are at District Brew Yards chatting with Bulldog Beer, Around the Bend, and Burnt City. These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are on site. The big crew here.
On location, man. We're in the big table. It's kind of quiet in here today because this is their off day, so thank them all for showing up. No, they're close. They're close to the public today, but they're not off today. It's brew day at the District Brew Yards, man.
Right, so we should just go around the table here and everyone introduce themselves, and then we can kind of dive into what's happening here.
Yeah, right on, man.
Who's kicking things off?
You go first.
Hey, I'm Nick. I'm Scorpio. we got three crews, right? We got Bulldog, and of course we have Burnt City, and then we have Around the Bend. So,
Drome. I think this is what the third time we've been on.
I know. Yeah, you and Chris Jacobson are
the three timers club.
So Drome, if you haven't met me before, co-founder of Bulldog Beer Company, and my wife Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. As Jerome said. Other co-founder of Bulldog Beer Company.
John Saller, one of the founders of Burnt City Brewing.
I'm Ben Saller, John's brother, and another founder and head brewer of Burnt City.
And I'm Dan Shedler. I'm the founder and owner of Around the Bend Beer Company.
It's been awesome to see this project come together. I know Nick and I were pretty excited, like leading up to it, hearing about it, especially that we've talked to you guys multiple times now over the last couple of years.
That's true. Yeah, we've always had the beers. I think we had the beers and then we had the folks on the show. But we had the beers first and we were like, wait, they're doing this right. Where we used to record. We used to record at Barn Camp around the corner.
I know, yeah. So we messed up. We shouldn't have moved off.
Dude, now we got this awesome beer hall like around the corner, man.
All right. So you're saying Monday you guys are closed to the public, but you're here brewing. Like how's the open been since the month now?
Yeah, it's been not quite a month, and it's been incredible. I mean, we had a series of opening events where we received a lot of very positive feedback, and then opening at the end of our first in the middle
two Fridays ago.
Yeah, so our grand opening was two Fridays ago, and we've just been packing the place, and people just seem to have a really good time. People come in, and everybody's just talking to their friends, drinking all the beers. We have about 30 beers on tap right now. Mm-hmm. People are drinking all of them.
Really. And they're drinking them really fast, which is a great problem to have, but we sort of, you know, we didn't want to end up with a bunch of beer getting old, so we sort of stopped brewing for a little while leading up to the launch. Now we're scrambling. We're trying to do 14 turns this week.
13.
Which is like 5 more than we've done before.
13.
Well, it's a lot.
I tell everybody we have good problems because you know we ran out of our number one seller in a little over 3 weeks, and I think we estimated it to last 5 to 6. So good problem to have. And then we got two beers that will probably be done by the end of this week, I think. And we're doing a classic West Coast double IPA, which I think is going to blow some people's minds because when do you see a classic double West Coast IPA anymore?
Right, yeah. Yeah, Jerome, like you guys took your beer amount has like, I don't know what, like quadruple, like what was like?
We've done more in the past 2 months than we've done in the last 2 years.
That's
yeah.
Nuts.
It's kind of terrifying, actually.
A little bit, yeah. But it's been awesome. Yeah.
I feel like I drank a barrel of the OK Fine.
Is that where it went?
Yeah.
How has the Pour It Yourself feature been for customers? Like, are people, like, in here and just rolling with the concept? Or are they freaking out? Are they fucking up the beers? Like, What's been the gap so far?
I think,
if any.
Mostly it's been great. You do see that we've been trying to figure out, we've been gradually expanding our hours and trying not to overwhelm the staff. So there have been some gaps in coverage as far as beer guides go. And then you do see people sometimes like doing the wrong thing with the card or pouring themselves a bunch of foam. But then you notice that and you're like, here, let me show you how to do it. Give them a quick tutorial.
Yeah,
and then it's fine.
Has been overwhelming.
And then, yeah. And then when it's, when everybody's in here and we're full and we've got the beer guides, it's amazing because people are going around and they're trying 2 ounces of everything. It actually frees people up to socialize in a way that I hadn't really thought about ahead of time, but like you're not tied to a table waiting for a server to bring you beer. So people are wandering around and like talking to each other and playing games and all sorts of
stuff. And what I love seeing is somebody will go and get a beer and be like, oh, we've got to try this. And then, oh no, but try mine. And
yeah.
It's really cool to see.
Yeah. And with the pour your own technology, it just makes for a really different experience and people are responding very well. Come in with your friends and it's not the classic structure of service, kind of like John was alluding to, where there's nothing wrong with the classic bar and bartender. We love that. We never want it to go away, but we want it to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best example I can think of is a couple weekends ago, there's 2 guys that started at Around the Bend's wall, and they literally did 1 ounce of each tap. And then at the end of it, we were at the last in line, and they're like, all right, well, we tried everything in-house. And they still got
it. Oh, in different glasses.
Yes.
In different
glasses.
Jerome's the only one who so far has poured all of the beer into one glass.
I tasted it. It was pretty good.
It was good.
I got dared to do that. So if there's a monetary value involved, I usually will do a dare. So
yeah, those little tastes, like that's something you could do at your traditional bar, but you kind of feel
not
like
without pissing
you
off
feel
the
like
bartender.
A jerk, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You
how
can
many
one
can,
or two?
Right.
And
exactly.
The third one, the guy gives you the stink eye.
Come on, just
one
order
you know, 30 beers, please.
If it's a place where I know the bartender and
yeah,
you know they
right.
know I'm gonna tip well and stuff like that, like I'll ask for a couple tastes of stuff, but yeah, for the most part you don't make friends with the bartender asking for 6 samples of beer.
Right. But you know what the
or
other
30.
Interesting thing about the pour your own technology has been is how in a way it also has just blended in the background and it's like not about that for
oh,
people
cool.
when they come
yep.
here.
Yeah.
It's really more about, you know, like we said, getting to try a lot of different things right in one kind of sitting. And then just being able to go at your own pace
mm-hmm.
and you know, kind of create your own adventure. And like Ben was alluding to, the socializing factor in here has been phenomenal. Like there's no TVs anywhere in here intentionally. And so we're seeing the interaction between people, the game playing,
people
the wall
playing
games over there. They're bringing their own games in. It's just, it's kind of unlike any other bar atmosphere I've seen in a lot of
yeah.
ways, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the inspiration? Like, did you go into it saying, hey, this will definitely be self-pour? Or did you guys want to have, like, a cool beer hall? Like,
there were different opinions
here?
Amongst our team. Steve and Greg, who are our partners, and Steve is the primary owner of District Brew Yards. He was enamored with the idea, I think, because he has observed the way that... technology's been implemented into, you know, well, this specific technology in some bars that he saw people enjoying themselves. He thought, well, you know, people are looking for new experiences with technology, with service, mm-hmm. and we wanted to create something different.
It wasn't part of the initial pitch when Steve and I sat down, when he floated the idea
yeah.
for... broadly what this concept is to me like 2 years ago or so. It's coming up almost 2 years ago.
Sure.
The initial idea was similar but slightly different. It was having a courtyard in the middle, which you know kind of mimics what we have here in the beer hall now, but with tap rooms, individual tap rooms surrounding them.
Okay.
Like closed, right? And so it kind of reminds me of having moved from a 1920s house where the kitchen is in the back and it's closed off and there's all these little rooms in the house to like open floor plan today. The idea evolved into this notion of being one big open space, and then the pour your own thing just made so much more sense in
yeah.
that sort of a setting. So it has evolved a little bit over the last 2 years, but that idea of like the pour your own came along pretty quickly.
And I think you're about to see really where it's going to shine. You were talking about the guys who came in and tried 1 ounce of everything. Like, now we're at the point where if they come back in 2 weeks, 15 of those beers are going to be different.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that's awesome. Like, yeah.
You said on the technology thing, I think that could be, it's probably too early to tell, but you get some good stats or numbers on like what beers are pouring well.
Yeah.
If a beer on the end is pouring better than beers in the middle.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We haven't looked at that.
But I do think, we had our brew pub open for 6.5 years and we we got to look at a lot of sales data. And when you're just serving pints, it's like if a beer wasn't selling, it just would not sell. Like, nobody would buy a pint of ESB, which is sad, but it's just how it is. But like, here, literally, there are no, our fastest movers are moving about 3 times faster than our slowest movers. And that's really different from the ratios we used to see at the brew pub.
I think it's been interesting, just from a personal observation. What I'm drinking right now is Kiss Our Saison. This has been our flagship. This is the first beer we ever released, right? So on the wall, we had it just say Kiss Saison.
Yeah.
And it was our lowest seller. And then we were like, why don't we change the description on the screen to read Citrus Saison? And it went from like 7-8% sales each week, and then it jumped up to like 12-13% week with just that one change.
Yeah. And since people get to choose with that, I mean, we have beer guides here all the time that, inform people about the different options and answer questions and certainly weigh in on what they like best. But overall, customers get to kind of make their own decisions with less influence from another party. And so that I hadn't even really thought that much about it until now, but that's going to be really valuable for figuring out what is going to work out in the rest of the world.
Speaking of the beers, we usually talk about the beers at the beginning of the show. We didn't even mention what we're drinking right now.
Yeah. My first beer was the New Haze from Burn City.
Quike-minded,
there it is, Quike-minded, yeah. It's the V, but it's pronounced with the W.
Yeah.
Quike-minded, that's the Norwegian farmhouse yeast.
Yeah.
Right on, that was my first beer.
Okay,
yeah.
And you had a backup beer there.
I got a backup beer from Bulldog, and this was, what was this, the Kolsch?
Grime. Hibiscus Lime Kolsch.
Yeah. Yes. So.
Nice, and I've got the Around the Bend
Grise.
Grisette.
Calamansi Grisette.
Yeah, what was the Calamante?
It's a fruit from the Philippines, kind of like a sour orange meets a lime sort of thing. So nice light citrus character to the beer.
Nice.
Grisette's like a table beer, right? It's like
session saison.
Like a session saison? Yeah. Okay.
Nice. And then do you guys tend to drink your own beers when you're just picking a beer? Or you kind of...
I bounce around.
I'd say probably, I drink Burnt City beers a little bit more than the others, but I love drinking. I'm the worst.
Well, but I mean, when you're the brewer when you've designed the recipes, you've presumably designed the recipes because it's what you want to drink, right? So it makes sense that...
It's a fine pleasure.
No, you got to design the recipes for what fanboys want to drink. That's what I'm going to... Throw a bunch of ho-hos in the
But yeah, I bounce around.
Yeah,
for sure. But I probably hang out at the Burnt City wall most because that's where my friends gravitate to and stuff like that. And so for that reason, I probably end up drinking more.
I drink a lot of that Grisette and a lot of CeeLo.
Yeah, and I drink a lot of the OK Fine.
And I drink a lot of Extra Circus and Base Melter.
Yeah, Villainess is one of my go-tos.
Grisette's one of mine, and Vera.
And the small amounts that you
can drink. And the very small amounts I can drink.
I like the Vinny quite a bit.
So how does the brewing work? I know we got a little bit when we were here for the preview, but what's happening with
sure.
that?
Sure, so the each brewery or brands, owners, oversee their beers being brewed, their recipes, their processes, and then, you know, we are, for like operations, just, you know, transferring beers and whatnot, it is our crew that mostly came from Burnt City because of all our equipment that we've been using for years, and so, you know, it makes sense that we're doing the grunt work, but yeah, these guys weigh in on every facet of the process for their beers.
Okay.
And I think you can taste the difference from wall to wall just because of, you know, subtle things like water chemistry, you know.
Or will you use, like, Dan uses different dry hop techniques from Burnt City and different water chemistry, and, you know, Bulldog does their own thing in that respect as well. So
I think there's a different point of view from each of the breweries, right?
Yeah.
In terms of what we're trying to achieve. Not one is not right and the others are wrong. They're just different, right? Mm-hmm. And we end up with, you know, a different and great selection of beers for people to be able to choose from because of that.
Now, this this is the first pub since the pub next door to Delilah's, right? What's one of my favorite parts about that pub was the it was bowling, and then there was like all these leagues, right? There was like industry leagues. What are some of the things, you know, summer's coming up, craft beer week's coming up. What are some of the things you want to do in this new space? Have you guys bounced any ideas around?
We've bounced around a lot of ideas. Obviously, we're not going to have bowling here. The bowling leagues were fun. We did beer industry bowling leagues for 7 years, and a lot of great memories along with those. We are going to find a new competitive something or other. We've been a little swamped with just getting the doors open and all the beers ready. So I don't think we pinned anything down, but we're finally over the hump where now we can focus on what we're going to do to have fun.
Well, we got a couple events going on for Craft Beer Week. You know, we're doing a bug after party.
The unofficial after party.
The unofficial after party.
It's not that far from
it's Friday. Yeah.
You get on the
4 days away.
You get on the green line. It's like three stops from there to here. So.
So we'll be doing that. Tuesday, we're doing Bring Your Own Vinyl Night. Wednesday is Charity Night, where all three brands are going to have part of the proceeds going towards a fundraiser of their choice, charity of their choice. Thursday, we're having a big board game night where it's competing with the brewers and chess, Connect Four, all kinds of
board game Olympics.
Board game Olympics.
How's your chess game, Ben?
Four.
Do you want me to bring my four-way chess board where four people
absolutely
play chess at one point?
Not.
That sounds terrifying.
I'll play backgammon. We're also going to have some beer releases that we haven't pinned down dates because we're letting yeast do its thing and not trying to, you know, force it to finish its delicious snack of wort. So Burnt City, we're going to release Christian designed a saison with coffee and vanilla. So that's going to come out during Beer Week. And I think Old Dog has at least one.
I think we have two.
Two.
Yeah. We'll have Arnie, which was used to be our AK Warrior. We changed the name on it, changed the label. But that's big West Coast double IPA, got some malt in it.
Multi-bitter.
Yeah. And then we're going to be doing Stevie, which is a Belgian Golden Strong with Idaho Gem. Really interesting hops that's described as candied cherry, so I'm really excited for that one.
And then at Around the Bend, we've got two new coming on next week. So Juice Trials is our first solo haze. We did a collab to open up here with our friends over at Maplewood, and it's sold out already. Juice Trials is going to be a new series that we're doing. So double dry hop IPA, the hops will change each time we brew it.
Okay.
The base beer will stay kind of the same. So first time out of the gate, it's El Dorado and Equinot, and it's straight pineapple right now. It's tasting so good. And then our summer seasonal should be ready to go next week as well. And that is going to be called Ramblin' Rosé, and it's a rosé ale that is both colored and flavored by hibiscus, cranberry, and raspberry. So the underlying beer is Australian sparkling ale, and it turns this nice, you know, pink color like a Provençal rosé wine. color, and 5% just an absolute crusher. It's going to be great around the patios this summer.
Sounds good, yeah. So then we have three walls here, and we have a fourth wall behind us that's still empty, right? So what's the hope, what's the plan going on there?
Well, right now it's just a matter of catching up on our brewing, responding to sales, which are fortunately really good. We didn't want to get ahead of ourselves, as John mentioned earlier, and stockpile too much inventory because freshness is kind of the most important thing of what we're doing here. Yeah. So when we do get back on top of that, we're going to tap collaboration beers on that wall, both and so everything we tap here is going to be made under this roof, with the exception of collaborations that we do at other breweries.
Okay.
So we have bottles of Burnt City's collaboration with Illuminated Brew Works. We did an awesome brute IPA with raspberries and orange peel.
Oh, so they're not too far from here.
Yeah.
Oh, they're super right close. Yeah. Yeah.
So we couldn't get any kegs of that because we were a little late to get on top of that. We just opened after they had already sold out. So that would be one example. We're working on plans to get some ciders either collaborated on or we're looking to bring in good local ciders while we work on getting our winemaker's license. Allow us to
winemaker's license, huh?
We're gonna perks up on that one.
So,
tell you, man, in the summer, man, I guess I'm all back and sit at a Millennium Park all summer, man.
Yeah.
Well, they got the movies and you know all that other stuff.
Yeah. And we're also gonna work with. We have three homebrew clubs that we've been in touch with. Hops, Chaos, and Square Kegs, where we're gonna collaborate with them club decide what recipe they want to brew and do a 7-barrel batch of that to tap over there.
And there are other, so we're going to be doing a festival devoted to quite yeast in the fall, and we've actually got some, Norwegian brewers who are interested. So, you know, the fourth wall would also be a place where we could showcase, this actually violates Ben's rule that
no,
he
Norway,
said.
No, Norway. It's brewed in Norway. It's okay.
But we could bring in four kegs from, our Norwegian brewer friend and have them on tap while the guy's in town. Having flexibility to do, a bunch of random stuff over there. This is a podcast. I can swear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, because this has come up a couple times and nobody in the world cares, but I just want to set the record straight. Quakefest, we're going to have an awesome beer festival celebrating this awesome yeast. We're not going to do the self-pour for that. It's just going to be people pouring beers. I feel like some people maybe would be rubbed the wrong way by the idea that we're using this traditional ingredient and then,
Also,
that's a fair distinction
people,
to make, though, right?
Yeah. People are dumbasses enough at beer festivals. You can't let them pour their own.
Yes. Well, that's a good one.
Is it technically pouring, though, if your mouth is directly on the cup?
I think it is.
I still think,
Now that you bring that up, that is a concern.
Don't do it, Jerome.
Now, everybody here, I think, we were talking about in the pre-show about the party at Soldier Field. What was it called?
Chicago Beer Classic.
Yeah, Chicago Beer Classic. Oh, yeah. Everyone's got a blue color. Hey, everyone here is Ben, right? How was your experience this year, right, at that party on Soldier Field?
Well, since we just established that we can cuss on this, we had a guy that came up to me after the first session. They had already called last call. They pulled the taps. Nobody's pouring anything, right?
Right.
No beer is flowing at all. And some guy comes up and is like, hey, man, let me get a pour. I was like, they called last call 10 minutes ago. I'm never fucking buying anything from fucking Bulldog ever again.
Man.
And I was just
spicy.
Like, yeah. Okay, well, one person out of the 4,000 that were here, so we lost one customer.
Bulldog lost a custody at Chicago Beer Class.
Yeah, we try to be like as nice as possible, but like that's uncalled for. But other than that, it was fine. Lou Dog, if you listen to this, please never do those tiny 2 ounce mugs again. Those were awful to fill from the jockey box.
Is that what they were pouring?
Huh? Yeah,
like they plastic were, probably.
Is that Lou Dog or a Red Dog?
I thought it was a Red Frog.
Red Frog. I mean,
no, it was
Red Frog in the past.
Yeah, it was last year.
Lou Dog this year?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. I saw Lou Dog.
Okay. But they had these 2 ounce mugs that were like that big, and they were awful.
Yeah, I didn't personally go this year, but our guys reported that went through a lot of beer. We had some cool ones there.
It was a great weekend for it too. Yeah. So yeah. Like, it's been cold in the past for that.
Yeah.
We're starting to get a little bit more picky on the festivals we're going to be doing, I think, moving forward. There's just been so many, and you know, there was, you know, it's called Spade, you know, there were a lot of negative, you know, feedback online about that fest this weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we're going to have to think about that one for next year. But just in general, we're starting to pull back and not do quite as many. We'd rather do the festivals that we know are premier events that people are really enjoying, that are really run well. Bug, you know, comes to mind, obviously. The Oak Park Beer Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
Fobab,
guild events.
Well, it's not a guild event anymore.
The guild.
Yeah, I mean, not to throw any shade around, but Burn City's also trying to be selective, and like, if there's going to be like a 200 person line to get 312 and nobody's coming to drink our new, like, you know, crazy beer that we came up with, probably not a good use of our time.
Yeah, exactly.
And for us, we're so small, we need the sales. So we gotta do every festival we can.
Yeah, we still need that word of mouth, so you'll probably see us at most festivals this year.
But we will have sunscreen next time.
Yes. We'll always have sunscreen.
It starts to wear on you after 4 years of going.
Yeah. Although there's still, like, I mean, I still look forward to Great Taste of the Midwest.
Oh my God, yes.
So much.
Again, that's another exception, right?
Beer Under Glass. We're currently not guild members. We'll probably be guild members by Bug next year. Yeah. So, you know, but that is a very good festival as well.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
I always like Summer Ale Fest in Grand Park. I just think it's really cool.
I've never done that one.
It's fun. It's just nice. Yeah. You're just in Grand Park. Pouring beers.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get into Fobab this year. That's something we've never done. So
yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's one of the other things that I think we're all really excited about here at Brewyards is the amount of space we have. You can see them, you know, stuck around here. We got more space for even more barrels. So I think we're all looking forward to amping up our barrel aging program, both clean beers and sour beers.
We're starting our barrel age program.
Yeah. some starting, some amping up.
Yeah, we want to go big for Fobab this year. Burn City, when we were Atlas a long time ago, we got ourselves a couple Fobab medals like six, seven years ago.
Yeah, with the mightiest of barrel programs. I think when you walked in the pub, there's like literally like two.
Yeah.
Right. No one under the host stand.
At one point, we had four. We had to put one in the bowling alley, and this is a great story. We got some Sauterne barrels, the French white dessert wine from Bordeaux, and we aged our T-Rex hugs in the Sauterne barrels, and one of them was in the bowling alley, and we found out that they were re-fermenting in the Sauterne barrels because a lady who was there to bowl pulled the bung out of the barrel, and there was just a massive explosive beer fountain. She ran away, like, out of the building, never came back. I wasn't there. I like to think that she was wearing bowling shoes. I don't know. But fortunately, we managed to process that beer before it could oxidize much from that unfortunate incident,
okay.
And it ended up super cool.
It was really good.
So thank you, mystery lady.
Well, yeah, thank you, mystery lady, for showing us that barrel was under pressure.
And also that you probably shouldn't put beer that's aging in barrels in a bowl, yeah.
Yeah. It'll probably not come up again.
Right on.
And then at this location there's food.
Oh yeah.
There's not a lot of food around here.
Food's
in general,
really good.
So
here.
Yeah, we got a big old smoker, and we're offering brisket, pork belly, pulled pastrami. Pork, smoked chicken.
Pastrami's back?
Smoked pastrami.
Sleep on the pastrami.
We have a separate smoker that we're doing, like vegan hot links and other.
Eventually fish. We haven't messed with that yet.
Really? But not in the vegan but smoker. The sides, we have two little smokers.
The sides are also awesome. Like
miso glazed carrots.
Those are one of my favorites.
The collard greens with the smoked turkey.
Elotes
have been really popular.
Fantastic.
The elotes have been divisive, but mostly people love them. Some people want the buttery, not
the crema.
Which I didn't realize that was a thing. But yeah, people feel very strongly about elotes.
Should make t-shirts and say
anyway,
that.
There's food here.
We've been selling a lot of food.
It's important because you have Cobra Lounge, All Rise there, they have food. But then other than that,
that's true. Really that's like the only stuff.
Yeah, On Tour does a lot of food trucks, I think.
Yeah.
They do a lot of pop-ups and everything.
What I like about this place, man, is that it's built for a festival. Like, you got this huge parking lot. You got the gate that separates from the street.
Yeah, although we should mention that's not our parking lot, so people shouldn't park there.
Nick, move your car.
We're very friendly with the owners of that lot, and we would love to do a fest either in the parking lot or ask the city to let us take over Hubbard. And we're also planning on, we're still working on some of the licenses, but we're going to open a patio that's going to take up a little portion of the parking lot back here.
Nice. These people can bring their dogs, which is awesome.
Which is very big for our brand.
Although we're mostly cat people.
I'm wearing my cat shirt today.
So. It also has aviators.
It's like Inception.
Nice. All right, so some good beers coming up. We got food, Illinois Craft Beer Week, events happening.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't been here, you really should come check out this space, man. Conveniently located right here, just south of Grand on Ashland. There's these really cool lights from like Lightology or something that are just floating in the air. It's a really cool modern beer hall. I dig the aesthetic in this joint. It's nice.
Thanks. Awesome. I love how light it is. I mean, the skylights, the sort of open air, and, we've spent the last few years at our production facility where there were no windows.
Mm-hmm. Great history there, the Jay's Potato Chip Factory. No windows.
But great history.
Yeah.
Were they gone completely, like, when you guys showed up? Was Jay's?
Oh, yeah. They had been gone for 10 or 15
years. 10 years, okay.
And but the Lincoln location, it was also darkish.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. Yeah.
It was.
So this is nice. It's very welcoming, and
The windows open.
Oh yeah, those
wonderful on a sunny
all
day.
All the way.
It's I took yesterday off and rode 33 miles around the city along the lake, but I kind of wanted to stop by just to see how it was.
It was nice.
Experience. All of the window seats were taken. When I showed up to try to do work that I was not able to do.
And we should mention, you guys are closed Mondays. We were outside waiting to come in, and multiple people came up and were like,
"Oh, it was the wrong day." We're like,
I think eventually we'll be open on Mondays, but as we, our opening went extremely well. I still feel blown away by that in terms of the amount of people we got in the door, but also the degree to which we maintained our level of service and kept things going, which is sort of terrifying. So we're taking Mondays off for now just because we get slammed over the weekend and we just need to regroup.
You need a break.
Do a little extra deep cleaning.
Well, we need to hire some more staff.
We do.
Which we're working on.
Yeah.
Although we've got some people starting, but it's like when you need 30% more coverage at any given hour. it's harder to.
So for now, it's Tuesday through Thursday. We're opening at 3, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're opening at 11:30 a.m.
Yeah,
so
11:30.
Yeah, we changed it.
Okay.
Did you get the memo down?
No, there wasn't.
Well, and I think the long-term goal is we'll be open at 11 Monday through Thursday,
seven days a week. Hopefully, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll play it by ear. I think, but there are a lot of people working in this area who seem to appreciate having another option for lunch. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also a lot of people are just coming in early in the day with their laptops. We have a lot of power outlets and super good Wi-Fi, and people are just posting up and sipping a beer for, you know, 3 hours.
I would argue it's better than working at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Less crowded.
And we will have, we're going to work with Passion House to start offering some really good coffee soon. So, yeah, I think it's a good spot. It's just a pleasant place to do work and maybe socialize a little bit, but if that's not what your goal is.
I like that. It's a sensible alternative to what's going on in West Loop right now. Like, West Loop's starting to change. It's a little different. You know, mm-hmm. I like this vibe.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, I was at Kuma's, and it was like, you know, I was getting like a pint of black IPA, and it was like $9. You know, I was like, well, what are we doing here with this pint glass? And then, like, why is it $9? I didn't understand it. You know, why is my, it does not look like the burger.
You're not making that Google money, man. $9.
Yeah, it's probably just me.
Yeah. Rents are a little higher than last week than they are in Belmont.
But I think that, in my opinion, is a selling point to this as well, is because we're pricing our beers what we would expect to pay at a high-end craft beer bar, right? Mm-hmm. And we're considering the tip in that price. So all of our employees are paid a living wage, and they're not reliant on tips. They can just work here, talk about beer, and hang out. And honestly, can you think of a better job of just getting paid to hang out and drink beer with people? Like, I can't, but... we have our lower ABV stuff that is still going to end up about $6.50 a pint, and then we have our specialty stuff that will be a little bit more. But I really do feel we have something for everybody here.
Yeah. Nice. Well, this was great. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you.
Excited to see what you guys do moving forward, and all the beer that you have to brew now to stay ahead.
So much beer.
Lots to brew.
So much beer. We're already talking about adding more 7-barrel tanks.
Yeah, it's we are. It's a little silly. Might want to be open for another month before we
add more beer. Nice.
Before we add 6 more tanks.
Well, awesome. Yeah, if you're coming after Bug, make your way here for official after party. And otherwise...
Unofficial after party is what it is, yeah.
But we'll all be here.
Nice.
And there'll be live music.
And there'll be... Ooh.
Oh, nice. It'll be a lot of fun. Keep the party going.
Yes.
That's our tagline for that.
Bruce Springsteen. He's playing live. After Bug, you heard it here.
You heard it here first.
All right, great. Well, Nick and I will be back with probably Illinois Craft Beer Week preview episode or post bug. Who knows?
How we do it.
And
Craft Beer Week.
Sounds good.
Back again.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.